much we love you, Father. You are beautiful. You are magnificent. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So I'm inviting each and every one of you, church. Raise up your hands. Lift up the name of Jesus. Let us declare His goodness. Let us sing all our hearts to the Lord.
Death could not hold.
Let's take this time to give our God his tithes and our offerings. Let's all bow down our heads and pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us all here. Thank you, Lord, for readying us, Lord, in the mode of worship. Lord, may all of us here who are sitting down, standing up, being part of the worship, Lord, please ready our hearts, Lord, for your presence. Help us, Lord, to focus on you, Lord. And as we give our tithes, or your tithes and our offerings, Lord, may this give us joy, Lord, in giving to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For our announcement this morning, after Sunday school, it would be the second Women's Fellowship for the month. And remember that Women's Fellowship is held every second Sunday and fourth Sunday of the month. And men's fellowship would be next Saturday, March 29. And March 30, that is last Sunday. March 30 would be the last day of to sign up. If you haven't signed up yet for the VBS, please sign up so that the leaders will be able to do their part in logistics or count the numbers of staff that they may prepare, or they may buy you your uniform. And don't forget to, when you sign up, don't forget to put the size of your the t-shirt that you will be using, or else you would be forced to use what you do not want. I don't know about that, but that's just a warning. So last day, next Sunday is last day for signing up for VBS. And April 18 would be Good Friday. 10, we'll start at 10, and Resurrection Sunday, it would resume at 9 a.m. And May 24 would be Church Spring Cleaning, and Bowling Fellowship will be March 31, in the same place as we've been going to, I suppose. And June 21 is our Fishing Derby at the Narrows. This Fishing Derby, if you want to go there Friday evening and camp there, you can do so. Maybe you can catch more if you do that. You can also grill your catch so that you do not need to bring home what you catch. And Church Family Sports Fest would be July 19, that is Saturday before VBS. VBS is July 21 to 25. If you haven't applied for vacation at this time, please do so if you are going to sign up as VBS staff. And Church Family Picnic, that's supposed to be August 23, Saturday also. And a youth camp. Is there any last day of signing up for this youth camp? April 6. Okay, April 6. If you are going to the youth camp, please sign up. And I think there's also a waiver there that you would ask your parents to sign up for you to join, because you are underage, I would say, ages 12 to 18. And if you want to sign up also for a youth camp staff, you can do so. They need staff there. So that is a Turtle Mountain Bible Camp. Is the first time for a few years that the youth camp had been shelved. So just go back to your bulletin to see all those activities. And if your family wants to be added to the list of Sunday greeters, please inform Brother John and Sister Thea Daya so that they will be scheduled when it's time for you to be scheduled. You will know that. All right? Today we'll be praying for ministry leaders. All right? If you are involved in a ministry or praying to be involved in the ministry, please stand up where you are right now, and we'll be praying for you. Let's pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thank you for calling ministry leaders in this church. Thank you for how you give them that joy, enthusiasm to serve you in the ministry you have called them. And for those who are still praying which ministry they are going to be involved with, Lord, make it clear to them. Let them have that clear idea which ministry they are to be involved with, so that they would sense your presence, your empowerment, your inspiration, and their lives will serve as testimony that serving you in the ministry you have called us into is the best choice, is the best experience we can have in our Christian life. Let everyone, oh Lord, in this church explore the ministry you have called
us to be involved and experience much of your love and grace. Thank you for how you bless these ministry leaders. Let them be exemplary in their behavior, in their punctuality, in their choices, in everything. Lord, bless them to become blessing to you, to the church, and to their acquaintances, to relatives and friends. Bless the Maples Evangelical Church as well. Help us, bless us, O Lord, to be inspiration to these ministry leaders, and that they continue to serve you as you would enable us also to serve you in a way pleasant to you. Lord, as we listen to your word, prepare our hearts and minds. If anything in us is not acceptable to you, forgive us of our sins. Take away any concern, any burden that may disturb us from hearing you. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, O God, Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Reveal to us very clearly how we may apply in our respective lives the lessons prepared for us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand up as we give honor to the reading of the Word of God. Let's stand up.
Our scripture passage today is contained in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45 to 49. Let's all read it together. 45, so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. Let's bow on our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, we praise and thank you, Lord, for the scripture passage. In 1 Corinthians, Lord, we pray for understanding. We pray, Lord, for wisdom as our pastor delivers to us his sermon. Lord, we pray that you open up our hearts, Lord. Anything, Lord, that will distract us, anything, Lord, that will hinder us, Lord, from worshiping you in this way, Lord, please remove it. Any sins that we have, any inequities we have, Lord, against you, Lord, forgive us so that we can be rightly in your presence. Lord, we pray for the message today, Lord. Let it resonate, Lord, not just in our hearts, Lord, but through our actions as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have you ever come upon that book, The Heavenly Man? Have you ever read it? I guess I mentioned this before, but let me tell you more about this. The Heavenly Man is a story of a true believer who was detained because of his faith in Christ. Accordingly, the Heavenly Man fasted in jail for 74 days and night without food, without water. And you can easily imagine how very thin he was. So when he walked out at the door, at the gate of the jail, they did not notice him. I don't know why, but maybe God made the guards very busy. He just walked, he said in his testimony, if you read that. You can read that in this book. That he just walked on the gate, and as if everybody was just busy doing their things and they did not notice him, maybe because he was very thin or he was not a threat or something like that. I don't know. And he also flew out of the country. You know what? According to the story, he used a passport. It's not his passport, because in that area they were not allowed to get a passport unless you are official duty and responsibility to do outside the country. But when he used the passport accordingly, the picture in the passport that he used was a bald and a fat man. And when the immigration officers look at the passport, they just laugh at him and they did not think anything, any suspicious activities. They just laugh at him and then let him get out of the country. That was his story. Now, that escape of this heavenly man from jail was compared to what happened in Acts chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. It says, an angel of the Lord struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals, and Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. You can read more about this story of how Peter get out of jail in Acts chapter 12. The angel helped Peter get out of prison. Similarly, the heavenly man got out of prison and nobody noticed him also. Anyway, before we went for family mission in East Asia, I went to the Christian bookstore, look for this Heavenly Man book. It was the last copy and I bought it. I read The Terrible Persecution of the Heavenly Man, and then I told my family, each of them, read the book. My purpose was I wanted them to sense if there's any, if they can sense it, if they were scared of persecution, just like what happened to the heavenly man and the other Christians in the book, including the book, when we went to the mission field. The mission experience we had in East Asia as a family was most memorable adventure. Together, let's reflect on what Christ warned in Mark 10:29-30. Truly I tell you, no one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me in the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, along with persecution in the age to come, eternal life. It is true that the government authorities somewhere in Asia forbid proselyting or converting their people into Christianity. And we had also experience, but we were not trapped. There were undercover authorities, but they were not able to trap us because we avoided open evangelism in public. We just share the gospel to people who come to our apartment, and students who want to learn more about their classes like that. But there were moments when authorities came knocking at our apartment door to check if we have legal papers. And at one time, Louis did not come to school, and he left himself in the apartment, and the police came and knocking at the door. I don't know how he experienced that. I don't know if he was so scared, but it's great that he knows where our legal papers, our passports and visas were located. And when he showed them, they saw that we were legal. We have legal papers, so. But that was the maybe scariest experience he had. There was also a time when I think the police were looking for us, and they knocked at the wrong door. They knocked at the, I don't know if we were the ones they were trying to locate for us, but they were knocking at the other side door. So persecution in that area is real, but the Lord filled our hearts with confidence in Him, and He took care of our safety. Never let us worry of dangerous predicaments. You have heard about missionaries who were detained by authorities. Actually, when we went to East Asia, there were a couple, I think from Canada actually, who were detained. And before we entered the area, and we trusted the grace of God for us is sufficient, and we had great mission adventure. Now, one thing that you would like to start with the communication when you go to missions where people had no idea about God or have never heard about Jesus Christ, have never heard about the gospel of Christ, is the story of creation, the story of Adam and Eve. That is a very appropriate topic. Do you want to learn about that? You may talk about a parable from the Philippines, something like this. I don't know if you know this. During the creation, God was so excited baking the first human, and then it came out, it's not cooked, so it was white, so not so cooked, right? And then the second one, accordingly, he just waited until it was cooked, and he forgot that he was cooking, and it was so dark. And then the third creation, accordingly, he was so conscious about it, and he cooked it right, and so it's kind of like kayumangi or brown, something like that. That is ripe, good cook. I don't know about that, but you can tell about that story. You can tell that, or you can directly tell about Adam and Eve. That is a better way of starting conversation if you want to talk about God in areas where they didn't heard about God, about Jesus, about Christianity. I hope that some of you who are listening, if you are listening, will prayerfully consider and explore to become missionary one day. Be it a short-term missionary or long-term missionary, pray about that. Short-term missionary, you can go there for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, just to explore if you are called to missions. It's great. I believe Heather, your experience of going to mission changed her perspective about the gospel of Christ, and you can too. You go to mission, sign up for any mission agency for short term, try it, explore it. And Ate Arlene, Kuya Oka can tell you their personal experience too when they went to short term mission. And some of you also have gone there. And you would surely see the gospel of Christ more in a wider sense. So prayerfully consider becoming a missionary sometime in your lifetime. That is one thing that you would like to explore. You can go somewhere where you think you want to explore. Mission is adventure. Let's read again verse 45 and 46 of our passage. So it's written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. Now, the Hebrew name Adam refers to human beings with earthly nature. So the first man, Adam, exemplified practically this instinctive nature of humanity. He was easily attracted to sin. And he disregarded the command of God, and all human beings can be tempted to sin. Nobody can say, I cannot be tempted to sin. Every one of us can be tempted, and we committed sin against the Lord. Recognizing our sinful nature, that we can be easily attracted to sin, should cause us to realize our need of powerful Savior in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the last Adam, sacrificially died on the cross for us who believe to be saved. He gave eternal life to anyone who believes in him. And Christ gave us eternal life. God, Christ gave us spiritual life so that we can enter heaven when He returns. Let's reflect on what Christ declared on John in John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stand condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the Son, God's one and only Son. Now, faith in God is gift from God. Faith in God is gift from God. We believe Christ by faith, faith that comes from God. We believe the Word of God by faith. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we understand and follow His instructions in the Scripture. Now, personally, did you ask God to give you His gift of faith? Have you ever asked God, Lord, give me the gift of faith? If you haven't, ask God now to give you the gift of faith. Have you received the gift of faith from God? How do you know that you have received the gift of faith from God? How can we practically prove that we receive faith from God? Seriously, if we prioritize and prepare for our eternal destiny, it practically shows active faith from God. Every day when we think of our eternal life, our life in eternity, I'm doing this because I'm preparing for eternity. Your faith in God is active. Don't just say, I have faith in God. Prove it that you have faith in God. Don't deceive yourself saying, I have faith in God. No, I know the Scripture. Yes, everyone can know the Scripture, even the devil know the Scripture. But to have faith in God is a different story. There was a Christian couple. They were very much involved in church planting, and wherever the employment situated them, they would make sure that they would participate in church planting. And similar to children who are still dependent on their Christian parents, their children were also very active in ministry involvement. And sadly, after their children got married, after their children have their own families, not all of them got involved in church activities. Now, you are blessed. You are blessed if your spouse prioritizes the Lord. Pray that your spouse prioritizes the Lord if you want to be blessed in your relationship. Anyway, some of the married children of this Christian couple were either busy in their career or just totally didn't want to attend church anymore. That is very sad reality of confused married children that has almost become common circumstance among many Christian homes. Nevertheless, this Christian couple keep on serving the Lord despite the sad personal choices of their confused children. Problem cause anxiety, but prioritizing the Lord produce joy, joyful peace, joy and peace in our heart. We can always have problem as long as we are here on earth, but to have that peace despite problems and concern, that is from God. That is from God. Perseverance, despite sad circumstances, it reveals genuine faith in the Lord. We persevere because we trust that the Lord is with us, that the Lord bless us. Even at sometimes we fail. Now, here is a trivia question. who was the leader of Israel, who led Israel the longest? Who led Israel the longest? Moses led Israel for 40 years. David, I think 40 years too. Saul, 40 or 42 years. Solomon, 40 years. Manasseh, 55 years. Hezekiah, I think 52 years. Probably Prophet Samuel. Why? Because he led Israel from his youth until he grew very old. Youth meaning 20 years old. How old did Prophet Samuel die? Probably 100, 120, something like that. So he led Israel for at least 100 years, 80 years. Yet it narrated in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 1 to 3, when Samuel grew old, he appointed his son as Israel's leaders. The name of his firstborn was Joel, the name of his second was Abijah, and they served at Beersheba. But his sons did not follow his ways, they turned aside after dishonest gain, and accepted bribes and perverted justice. Prophet Samuel faithfully devoted all his life serving the Lord. Actually, ever since he was weaned, maybe 2 years old, he was serving the Lord, though he was not leader. He served the Lord. Maybe 2 years after he stopped breastfeeding, his mother Hannah brought him to the priest Eli, and from then on, he served the Lord. So he served the Lord from the age 2 years old until he died. But his children were never inspired to follow his footsteps. Instead, his children became abusive, which may have triggered the Israelites to ask for a king. Many Christian parents faithfully serve the Lord, but their children have different priorities. Now, as a family, as church family, we communally encourage one another. But practice of faith is personal preference. It is individual's preference. Parents can only do much to encourage children, but their children, mature children, adult children, have their choice to follow God or to follow their own desires. But here is a warning for everyone. Everyone is warned to persevere in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 to 13. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself. Now, believers or not yet, everyone can be confused by concerns of life. And the Lord Jesus Christ came to give life with gladness to believers who belong to him. He said, I have come to so that you may have life abundantly. That's abundantly meaning with happiness, with gladness. You can sense it, it's full. It's not about overflowing material things, that's not. But you have that life, you say, I have good life in Christ. And we can persevere despite all the challenges of life if we are sure that we are bound to heaven. Now, if you are bound to heaven, you know that you will enter heaven one day. Persecutions in anything that may cause us to feel sad is we can persevere despite of those things. If you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, you are guaranteed that you belong to heaven. The Holy Spirit Himself assures us that we will enter heaven. How do you know that the Holy Spirit is in you? Make sure you memorize the fruit of the Spirit. You have joy, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I'm not saying that you will have all those things. The person who wrote those things was Apostle Paul. Now, if you have reached that level of spirituality of Apostle Paul, you can say that you can have all those things. But at least a tip of it, some of it, you experience. So if you cannot experience, then ask, Lord, why is it that I don't have this peace despite many concerns? Why is it that I have no joy? Then ask the Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me. Don't stop asking the Lord until you sense it. Let's read again verse 47 and 48 of our passage. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. Mankind belongs to this earth. God created us. We are created out of the dust of the earth. And when our time on earth ends, our mortal body returns to dust of the earth where it belongs. Our earthly adventure ends at death, but death opens a portal, a passageway that leads to eternal adventure. Even now, actually, we are experiencing eternal adventure. When we experience the fruit of the Spirit, that is part of eternal adventure. Seriously, how do you interpret what it declares in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 to 22? Verse 21, it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit guaranteeing what is to come. Read that again, verse 21. It is God who makes us, both you, stand firm in Christ. He anointed us. Now, it is not human effort to stand firm, to be faithful in Christ. It is God who makes us, in you, stand firm in Christ. It's not by human activity that we can be assured to enter heaven. It is God who set His seal of ownership in us, put His Spirit in us, so for us to be guaranteed that we will enter heaven. Do not simply claim that you have faith in Christ. You need to be sure that God has made you stand firm in Christ, because we just cannot do it on ourselves. Let our priorities, observe your priorities, priorities in life. Do you prioritize your material things? Do you prioritize practical things? If we have received from God the gift of faith, our priority would reveal to us, I'm doing this because I want to experience more of God's love. Someone said, how do you know that you do not know if you do not try? Try. Explore your faith in God. God makes us stand firm in Christ. Don't just follow your human instinct. Try to explore where God leads you. God wants you to be involved in ministry, for example. God seals our hearts with the Holy Spirit. Do you sense the Holy Spirit in your heart? How can we practically know that the Holy Spirit dwells in our heart? If the Holy Spirit dwells in our hearts, we prioritize the Lord. Now, young people, listen carefully. This is for you and for those who maybe want to learn from. Young people, if you were earning a good salary, how did you spend your first salary? Don't stand up. Just think about it. Maybe you have purchased your dream car. You eat a prestigious restaurant, or you purchase the best cell phone in the market, or have good time and enjoy the fruit of labor. Did you do that? Well, those are very common choices of anyone in this world. Think about this. There's this political turmoil in our country. Today, I suppose the Prime Minister will decide to proclaim if there's election on April 29 or 28, I suppose. Watch out for that, because we will be having federal election. If they proclaim to have the federal election, we'll be having it in 27 days. Is that 27 days or 37 days? After 37 days, meaning the economy is also affected, the politics is affected, economy is affected. If your company, young people, is affected and your boss has to terminate some employees, you feel so nervous because you have heard the company policy: last person in, first person out. Is that the company, the policy of the company? You're the last who is employed, you most probably the candidate to be terminated first. But how do we behave as Christians when our career is shaken and we've got many bills to pay? How do you pay your brand new car when you are terminated? You haven't had your savings yet. Can you sense peace and gladness in your heart? Or do you question the fairness of God? Should you rather evaluate if you really are genuine believers? Listen, Christians who prioritize the Lord have proven the faithfulness of God in their life. How? In this church alone, there are Christians who received their first monthly salary. The first thing they did was to give all their first month's salary to the Lord. Not just 10%, all their first month's salary. And then they regularly return the 10% tithe of God, and God bless them abundantly. They are not confused by recession, finances, or termination of employment. Can you believe it? I was blessed one time. There was a young people from this church. I saw him, "Pastor, this is my first job." "Really? Glad to hear that. Pastor, I plan to give all my first month's salary to the Lord." The joy I had in my heart, so different. I'm on high level. Wow. This young person, teenager, saying that he would give back the first month's salary to the Lord, he is listening. He's learning. I believe that the parents of that young person has given him a very good example, that this young person committed to return what the Lord's. Certainly, if you belong to the Lord, you can personally trust this promise in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, Having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. It is by faith to believe without argument the word of God. If you believe and follow what is obvious instead of interpreting what is not obvious, your faith will grow stronger. Your spirituality will reach the next level. Someone said, we can give without loving, but we cannot love without giving. And giving back or returning back the tithes of God, this practically proves our love for God. Do you love God? It's easy to say, I love God. Let your action show your love for God. Don't just claim. Because we cannot deceive the Lord. We can deceive ourselves, but we cannot deceive the Lord. We return in full the tithes of God because we trust that He fulfills His promises in full. What do you think? If you return in full what is proper, that belongs to the Lord, will give you less? I don't think so. God is faithful. We can be faithless, but God is faithful. But will God give you full blessing if you only have half faith in Him? I don't know about that. Because if God would do that, many would abuse, right? Well, I did this and God still cared for me. That is how they would reason out. Personally, what's the most precious thing in your life? What is it? Your money? Your time? Or your life? What is more precious, your money, your time, or your life? Life. And Christ gave up His life on the cross so that whoever believes in Him will explore life in its fullness. If we say we belong to Christ, we also bear an image of heavenly man. Let's read again verse 49 of our passage. And just as we have born the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. When we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God sent the Holy Spirit in our heart. We are born in spirit. We are given spiritual life. If we have the Holy Spirit of God, we are spiritually alive. A spiritually alive person can hear. A spiritually alive person can see and understand spiritual truth. But a dead person cannot hear. A dead person cannot see and cannot understand. Yet many Christians are very slow to respond when the Lord speaks and gives instruction which ministry to participate. Why? Seriously reflect on what Christ warned in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. For these people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their ears, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. Actually, the Lord Jesus Christ was pertaining to the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law are very good in the scripture, and yet they don't understand, cannot apply practically what they know from the scripture according to the will of God. They have calloused heart. That's very tough, even for a Christian. It happens. Have you read the book about or biography of Dwight L. Moody? Sometimes maybe you can go to the internet and find there the biography, autobiography of Dwight L. Moody. Dwight L. Moody was a great evangelist before Billy Graham, and he testified of a man he visited. When he said, the first time he met that man, the man said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And then Dwight L. Moody befriended the man, and when the man had confidence in Dwight L. Moody, he told him the story. Accordingly, the man went out from his home in search for his adventure for himself. And then Sunday, attended a church, and the first sermon that he heard, the pastor preached on, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." It rang in his ears, but he ignored it. He went to another church the next Sunday, and the preacher, another church next Sunday, the preacher also preached on, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Then, maybe it's a coincidence, he was thinking. And then he went out to another church. Again, the preacher said, a preacher preached, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." And then he heard that multiple times, not just three times, in different churches. So he was thinking, are these preachers conniving to preach "Seek ye first" if I attend a church? He was thinking about that. So he stopped going to church until he cannot forget that sermon, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." He went to the countryside, live alone. Every time a person come and visit him, he would say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." So people in the neighborhood, they know that's the "Seek ye first the kingdom of God," because he always say, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." The man had a calloused heart, but the word of God penetrated his heart. Listen, preachers preach the word no matter what listeners may think. Why? On Judgment Day, we will all give account to the mission purposes that God gave to each of us. And God rewards us according to what we have done. God does not reward us according to what listeners have complained about. That's not in the scripture. But if the word of God offends you, it validates Isaiah 55 verse 11. It says, read, "My word that goes out from my mouth will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." If you heard in your heart when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, don't ignore, or your heart will be calloused. When your heart becomes calloused, you won't be able to hear him again. Until we move on from that first step that we need to do, it's hard, it's tough to move to the next level of spirituality. Medicine is beneficial to health. Do you agree? But when you give children the medicine, they cannot appreciate it. They cannot appreciate it. There was this social media video. The mother was trying to give them, I think, vitamin or anything, medicine to her child. And her child do not want to open his mouth. And then the mother asked her husband to sit beside the child. And the mother also tried to give the medicine to her husband. And her husband also did not open his mouth and shake his head. What the mother did was he took a stick and slapped her husband three times. And then the father acted as if he was really hurt. And then again, the mother tried to give that medicine to her husband. And the father again do not want to open the mouth. Again, the mother hit three times the husband. And the husband acted as if he was really hurt. The third time that the mother would give the medicine to the husband, it is when the husband opened his mouth and take the medicine. And the mother kind of like approved what he did. And then the mother gave the next spoon of medicine to the terrified child, and he opened his mouth. I don't know if that is really true, but I believe so. I believe. So that's your trick. Young people, you have your children, how you would feed or give medicine to your children, connive with your husband and try some drama. I don't know, but it may. Well, truly, children cannot appreciate medicine, but mature adults can. If you know that you have cough or colds or something like that, and you take that pill that is bitter, you take it because you know it's helpful. The Word of God is spiritual medicine. It's hard to swallow, but it is refreshing to obedient believers, the Word of God. But believers with callous heart or immature may avoid spiritual pills, but heavenly citizens obediently cherish the Word of God. You know that God loves discipline, the children He loves, right? The Bible says, God loves you if He disciplines you. But discipline is painful, not very pleasant at the time. But pray that even when God disciplines, that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit and you would sense that gladness in peace in your heart. Let's stand up and let's reflect and pray. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, forgive us when times that we do not listen to you, listen to your messengers, listen to your word, you do not respond. Forgive us, Lord. Don't allow our hearts to become callous. Instead, help us to quickly respond according to your will. Continue, O Lord, to fill us with your Holy Spirit, even at times when we are not aware. Inspire us, O Lord, to obey you. Remind us always to look forward to the return of Christ and prepare for our eternal dwelling individually. Let us also become encouragement to others, encouraged to follow, obey you all the days of our lives. Lord, I pray if there's anybody in here who has not been assured that they will enter heaven, increase their faith, O Lord. Give them the gift of faith to trust that anytime the Lord Jesus returns, they will have that confidence to enter heaven. Don't allow anybody in this room, O God, to come out of this sanctuary doubting of their eternal destiny, Instead, give them the confidence that when Christ returns, we all enter heaven. And we go out from this place rejoicing, testifying. That's true. You are faithful, O God. Increase our faith. May God's love and grace overflow in its one's life. And may peace that surpasses understanding prevail in its one's heart and mind. And may the fellowship and the empowerment and inspiration of the Holy Spirit be with us all. And all God's children will say with me, Amen. God bless everyone.
Let us remain standing as we continue to worship the Lord. As we sing this closing song, let us be reminded how beautiful our Lord is. So I'm inviting each and everyone to please sing with us and let us worship the Lord freely. Feel free to raise your hands to sing. Sing with all your hearts for the Lord.
Never be. in front are for the tithes and offering.